Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oh, look, I've got an Oxo Cube mug.
Yeah, so that, my dad had that Oxo Cube mug all through my childhood. And then when my parents were thinking about moving a few years ago, we took a lot of mugs to the charity shop, and that was one of them. And it's always annoyed me. So went on eBay.
Oh, I thought you went back into the charity shop the next day.
No. Went on eBay, found that mug.
Oh, wow.
And now what I've done is I've just convinced myself it's the same mug.
That's a bit like you sold all your wrestlers and then you
bought them back.
You bought them back.
I know, yeah. It's almost exactly the same.
Wow. A therapist would do something with that.
Probably would.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Danny Wolf.
See, if I get so bored of saying this. If we'd had them headphones, Joe wouldn't have talked over that bit at the beginning, would he? Because he'd have known what was going on.
And we're joined by a guest the studio. It's Mr. Joe Ball.
Hello, everyone.
Third time on the podcast, mate. I thought it was second time, but you actually did one of the live episodes in Edinburgh. A very successful Edinburgh show in the subway, not the sandwich shop.
Or an actual subway
in Edinburgh. It's a nightclub. And 2019, I thought, let's put the podcast on Edinburgh. We'll get a live audience. We'll get two comedians. We'll do the podcast, you know, back and forth. It was great. It was actually good fun with that setup. I'd say the most people we ever had to come and watch was, I'd say, six. And one of them was my agent at the time.
Yeah, well, I think when I did it, it was about four or five.
Yeah, most of the time. We set up the stage. It's quite a big room. And most of the time we went and sat in the booth with a table. And the audience sat on the table next to us. So embarrassing. But, I mean, still, podcast a podcast, you know, you just pretend there's no audience if there's no noise or laughter or anything. But who did you do that one with?
It might be Joey Page.
Joey Page, lovely combo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Joe Combo.
Nice.
Joe Combo.
Joey Combo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Joe, so Combo's, you did that first, and then you came to my flat in London, North London.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah. Early on.
And was that after the pandemic or before the pandemic? That'd been just before the pandemic.
Early days. Yeah.
Oh, nice. And now you're here.
Yeah. It's the first time with both of you together.
With Danny.
Yeah.
And you two have got a history together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Made the Incognita documentary.
Available on Amazon Prime. Yep. And I genuinely, I mean, we haven't plugged it for a while, but if you're a comedy fan, it's such a good watch.
Yeah. I was gigging with Milo McCabe the other day, and he just, you know.
AKA
Troy Hawk.
Yeah.
AKA.
He said how much he loved it.
Oh, that's
Phil Berto.
Nice.
Well, yeah, dude, that's a good thing about it. But I remember, right, first time I did a gig. About the first month of doing a gig. But I ever told this story?
No.
Milo was doing his character act, Phil Berto. Do you remember Phil Berto?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, God, that's so impressive that he's doing comedy in his second language.
It worked too well.
Yeah.
It's nice though when people come up to you and say they like the film. I had someone come up to me say, we were talking about films, now I like films, backstage, and this guy went, if you like films, you need to watch the Incognito documentary.
Oh, amazing.
Not knowing
that you were involved.
Made it.
No, you should have put your names bigger.
I can't remember.
And your faces. Why don't they? Yeah, they should do that. Why don't you have to? You should have your faces at the beginning.
Yeah.
No one does that. They should, shouldn't they? That would be funny.
You're right. No one does do that.
Yeah, just so they know. Because you know what? When I was younger, I loved going to cinema. I loved films. But it wasn't until I started touring with Sean Walsh, who's really into films. I didn't even know a director was important in a film.
Hey.
No, you know when it says director? I didn't.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I didn't think. It was just the name of the actor.
What do you think Steven Spielberg did then? Like, make the tea?
Yeah, but it wasn't something I thought was a big deal. I didn't really understand that if it's like this is a such and such a person's film, that's worth. That never registered. It was always what actor was in it.
Yeah.
And then I sort of learned. Yeah, I was just no one ever told me. Because I didn't do film.
What do you think a grip does?
A grip. Hold something together.
Best boy. Always think of best boy.
Best boy. Sorry?
There's a best boy.
A best boy?
Yeah.
Sexist?
I don't really know.
Is there a best girl?
Best boy. Best boy is basically the second in command to the lighting director.
Is it? I should know that.
Photo of the director of photographer.
Charge of all the camera work.
Yeah, the DOP. Didn't know any of this.
No. Mark thought that DOP meant something different.
What's what?
That DP. It's a DP joke.
What's DP?
Oh, don't act the innocent, Mark.
DP?
Yeah. Double penetration, Mark. Oh, what? You don't know that?
Danny!
Hang on a minute. Joe, you knew what DP meant.
Why do you assume?
I'm not
assuming. Goodness gracious me. I'd like to apologise to the audience.
Charlie was doing this with his fingers to try and show you what it meant.
Let's not lower the tone.
We made the film with Sean Walsh as well. We did.
I thought you were going to say we made a film about DP and
not DP.
Not yet. That desperate yet.
Yeah. Joe made the film with it was called Joker. Was it
Clown?
Clown. Excuse me. Sorry.
Clown.
Very similar.
And you know what? About I'll tell you this story is that me and Sean were standing at the train station and Joe had sort of got permission to film at a tube station, train station.
Should be saying this. Yeah, we did get. And we did get permission.
And basically,
who gave you permission to some random bloke?
It was all a bit like that. And Sass and I was there, like with Sean, like, going, God, this is my worst nightmare filming somewhere you're not meant to be. And he was like, yeah, me too. And Joe sort of went off and he spoke to the bloke and got permission and came back. And I was like, wow, that was really impressively done.
Well done, Joe.
That's filmmaking.
Wow. But Charlie, who's sitting here, but he's the silent producer on the podcast. He's a good filming person. Probably a better word for that.
That's a good term, yeah.
And whenever we were over
GFP,
whenever we were over filming for BT Sport over in the Olympic Park, yeah. And if any ever like one of the guards came over, one of the Central Park sheriffs. Charlie would always say, "Oh yeah, it's my dad's birthday, and we're filming
dad's 60th birthday, always
and we're filming something." But all the time, and there you go. Joe's ears are pricked up.
I've got to use that.
Dad's 60th birthday every time.
Yeah.
Hell, mate.
And the guy was like, he went, "But that was last week." let's get cracking with the podcast. You know, you're a veteran of the Jokes podcast.
Jokes you can't get to.
You do proper jokes. You do a character, Jasper Cromwell Jones, and also Joe Bohr.
Yeah.
Same material.
It's pretty much the same.
One's a posh voice, one's sort of still quite Follow posh. Up.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So we did a gig together. Oh, actually, before we go into that, we had one of the worst gigs. I'm very lucky that I'd had some really nice tour shows. And then I finished my tour show for Christmas. And then I like doing proper gigs. So I went and did...
It
was my first Christmas gig back. And I'd forgotten about Christmas gigs. Yeah. My goodness. One, it was in a brewery, but in like where they do the brewing. And it was cold.
Okay.
And they had to sit on barrels.
Barrel ass,
yeah. And then, so it was not the most comfortable seats. And the compere went on. I don't want to give away too much of where it was and whose gig it is. And every time he did a joke, they'd go, this group of lads.
It's very laddie.
And then, so when I went on, because I do proper jokes, they just did it. Literally every time I did a joke, they went, "Way!" It's like impossible to deal with. So I just ended up sort of, I was trying to get there before they did. I'd do a joke and I'd wait, whee! And just trying to, you just have to try and make whatever it is work.
When I did a Christmas gig on Saturday night and it was a load of plumbers in, I mean, they were getting up 90 seconds after the show started to, you know, so you say, all right, Coke can't be that good if you're already going back to the toilets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but anyway,
any time you left a split second between a setup and a punchline, then shout out something. And because I had my cardigan on, the term nonce was used more than once. And they were shouting nonce at me. Because I was like, I beg your pardon. Right?
Yeah.
Classic. But obviously, that's not going to work.
Well, you said that they were doing that before you'd even established yourself.
Yeah, they were shouting.
Which is a classic. I feel like we said it before, but whenever we do a tour show, and I don't mind latecomers, it doesn't bother me, but I always say to the venue, can you wait, like, after a few jokes, so that you've established, myself or Danny, have established we're funny to the audience, and then interruptions, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you're doing your first joke and someone walks in...
Or walks out.
Well, that's your... Yeah. that's different between you and me, Danny. So then, and the joke doesn't hit because everyone's... Even if someone just glances over to what's happening and they come back, the first joke misses, the audience don't know it's because they got distracted. They think, oh, that's not funny.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's on the
downhill. And sometimes you can say, oh, they've seen me before, and that'll get a laugh. Oh, but this wasn't the comedy savvy sort of crowd, you know. This was...
Well, there was a lovely moment after you left. There was a guy...
That was it.
It was lovely. Well,
usually after Mark's left.
Yeah.
Those lovely moments.
But there was a heckle...
All before he's arrived.
It was Ryan was on, and someone heckled him. I love those moments more than jokes sometimes when the comedian reacts naturally, and he just went, it really made me laugh. He went, that doesn't even make sense. He just got so angry at the incredulous heckle.
It was quite funny because the compere, it started really feisty, so he was sort of trying to put him down, and it got to a point where it's so hard to deal with. The last put down he said before I came on, he went, shush. That's how desperate it got. Shush.
I find the best way to do it as an MC is to sort of take the bullet and go, look, guys, just to say, this isn't going to be funny. This might even feel awkward, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that the way comedy works is that you say something to set it up, you pause for a little bit, and then you say the thing that's funny. If you make any noise in between that bit, that crucial bit of pause, the whole thing's fucked.
But you know what that does? That allows you to fail. It's a brilliant way of doing it.
And I've done that on Thursday night in a yurt.
I did it yesterday.
In Norfolk. Did you?
At a new material gig. Yeah.
And you just have to say, this isn't trying to be funny. It's that you have paid. I'm getting paid anyway. That sounds a bit cunty, maybe.
Yeah, that's something some people do make a mistake of. They go, I'm getting paid anyway.
That's no good. No, you say, look, you've paid your money. I'm just telling you this. It won't work if you're doing this. And so you sort of not shame them as such. You just literally lay it out. Like, what more can I do? You can't, you know, if they're really shit faced as well, it's like negotiating with a dog anyway. So,
I heard, because I left to go to another gig, but I heard you had a nice one, or at least nice. I don't know how you think it went, but a nicer one compared to everyone else.
It was nice.
And I was thinking, when you go on with a character, I feel like that is an attention thing. That if you can just get them with the character, you might be able to keep that attention. Is that what happened? Because they're like, "Oh, what's going on here?"
It was kind of nice for the character because the character.
Did they stop going, "Woo"?
Yeah, they did. Well, I'd seen it. It helped that I'd seen the show.
But they only do that after jokes, Danny.
Low hanging fruit, Mark.
But I sort of knew how to play it, and I sort of did go louder and higher energy.
Did you?
Yeah. And I obviously, my character is posh, so they sort of seem to pay attention to that. And
but sometimes posh voice can command attention anyway.
Well, this country has basically been disciplined into listening respecting.
Yeah.
Posh people.
Yeah, and it was Windsor, so they know that sort of character. So I didn't have to do much setting up.
Mm.
So it was quite enjoyable actually.
But also, it's quite nice as a closer if it's a tough gig, if you've seen everyone struggle, you kind of go in with more confidence because if you don't do well, it doesn't matter because you're not doing any worse than anyone else.
It's hard if you've seen anyone smash it.
So you go in more relaxed, I would imagine, because you're just like, well, this is only, you know, I can't lose because it's bad anyway. And if you get anything out of them, it's a win, right?
Yeah, but then the character has been booed at the London Palladium on TV.
You know this, Mark.
I don't know. I don't know. Had you done that before we did the podcast before? We didn't talk about it then, did we?
No, I haven't spoken about it.
Ever.
I haven't really spoken about it. I do a story about it now on stage.
I do, yeah.
And it works really well. And I'm like, okay, great. Now I feel like I've got something out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Danny does it, obviously does a story about it.
Yeah. So well. You actually got booed. You didn't get booed, did you?
No, Danny? I didn't get booed. I just got virtual silence. I know what happened. You came on. They said, where are you from? What's your name? Casper.
And Jasper.
They said, Jasper. And they said, where are you from? And you went, money.
I come from money.
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
But they didn't realise.
Because that's where you take one of your jokes and you've added it into conversation, right?
Yeah.
The point is that the audience didn't realise he was a character.
Yeah,
a bit
right.
Like the Philberto thing. So, when he said it was for money, he thought they were, just being serious and showing off how rich he was, and he all started booing, didn't he?
Yeah, they thought it was real.
That bit got booed.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I tried to do other material, and they couldn't hear me because of the booing. So I just walked home. Thanks very much.
But I feel like...
What did Ant and Dec say? Well,
it's all coming back
but
to
what
me
did the...
Because I walked off first... that didn't go fucking well.
But you said so they could use it.
Well, what, did you speak to them? Because when I walked off, everyone had gone, apart from, the person who's the mental health person who's supposed to look after you, the therapist.
Marcy. And she was booing.
She went, ciao, Joe. That's an in-joke to anyone. You saw the text message I got from Marcy.
When everyone's booing, what were the judges doing? Were they booing? Did they, what... Did they get the joke, the judges?
Well, I think David Walliams did because he's a comedian.
Yeah.
But
don't you know him?
I've worked with him a few times.
Yeah.
But he didn't buzz me, apparently. I thought I'd got four buzzes, so I didn't walk off. but apparently I didn't. I just I walked off without being buzzed four times.
Did you?
Yeah. So it's an absolute mess.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, but it was a difficult one.
Yeah, so that's
Charlie. That's
can I say it's going to need to be tightened at the see that one behind it? Yeah, that should tighten it and lock it off.
That's really making me anxious every time that dips. Maybe that's the new trend. Is we just have lopsided video?
It's tight.
No, something's not tight, Charlie. That one ain't tight. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. For God's sake, what is going on?
This is a...
Snake bit, mate.
Do you know what, Mark? Do you remember when we didn't film these and we just sat around chatting and relaxing?
It was better.
It was so much better.
But you can't drive the people to the podcast if you don't have clips. That's the trouble. No, you get stuck on the same number.
You're right. You're totally right.
It's
the job's worth doing.
Invest
it's worth
to
doing
accumulate.
In a half-assed manner.
we got our best boy on the case now.
Bestest boy.
We never had this trouble before Charlie was involved.
Best boy.
So I have no idea where we got to. Okay, let's talk about your bits. We need to talk about Joe's bits. Okay, what you got then, Joe?
They all work, mate.
Go on then, tell us some of those and we'll see. Okay. And look at the comments and we'll see if they work.
There's some bits I've been trying to get to work that don't work well enough. So I just stopped doing them.
You always keep those to the side and come back to them and think there might be a way?
Well, they just don't survive. They don't stay in, do they? And then I was just looking at my stuff going, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. There's something in that. And I gave up on it.
Yeah.
Often because you don't have a punchline. Like So I'm trying to do story bits at the moment. I went for a run in LA and I accidentally joined in the LA Marathon. Right, and
is that true?
Yeah, but I think the problem with this setup is it doesn't sound real. Right? It sounds made up.
Yeah,
but I genuinely went for a run on Sunset, and it also makes me sound like a bit of a twat. But
if you're in character,
maybe, yeah, but I'm not in character.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I went for a run and joined in the LA Marathon, and I can't remember what I do with it. But I think people didn't realise. Like it looked. I think I ended it by going I mean, they were surprised that I came third because, I was also carrying a bag of croissants. But I don't know. It never really... It got a little bit of a laugh.
It feels like there's too much going on.
I shouldn't be carrying croissants.
Why are you carrying croissants?
I think the idea is he's popped... He's popped to the shop and he's in... Oh, no, don't go...
He's on a jogger.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe I shouldn't be jogging.
No, I went for a walk and ended up in the marathon.
I went for a walk.
I went for a walk, yes. End up in the marathon.
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah.
Because you're right. why are you running with croissants?
Yeah.
Unless you've stolen them.
Yeah, I don't know why it wasn't walk. Yeah,
that's funny. But so that's like, there's a lot going on because the joke, like, it's quite a funny premise that you've ended up in the marathon.
Yeah.
But if you're but then you got coming third.
I wouldn't have come third.
No. What about if it's unless you join it right at the end?
Couldn't the joke be that like carrying a bag of croissant is like the shittest fancy dress?
Oh, they thought yes, that's funny.
Oh, yeah, someone asked what you've come as.
Generic Frenchman.
Or it might be funny. Would it be funny if there's like you don't realise you're in the marathon? Because towards the end of the marathon, there's not loads of people. It's someone could say like it's like who's your sponsor? And he went, that's meant to be anonymous. Or do you know what I mean? Something where there's misunderstanding, where they ask you about the marathon, and God, George, you're not even breaking a sweat.
So I think I did have an ending like they went, "Oh, you were great. I saw you in Gone in 60 Seconds." I think there's something about Nicolas Cage at the end I added in.
Okay,
try and get a laugh.
Yeah,
if anything fails.
You did establish earlier about the Nicolas Cage thing.
Yeah.
So it's like a callback.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find yourself in the marathon though?
I went for a run.
Yeah.
Along the road.
At what point did you sort of join the marathon path?
It was the ending. It was the end. I mean, it was naturally.
So maybe
a funny
you need
situation.
To say that, but so then that's why you got third.
Because it was Sunset Boulevard, where pretty much the ending is.
But then all of a sudden, loads of people are watching you running. It's like that slow realization that. Because were there people down the sides of the street?
Yeah, because I felt like I might as well just keep running. And I thought, people are encouraging me to run. This is quite nice.
Because the problem you've got with this is it does sound made up.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying
it
is.
Because when you first said
it's actually not.
But the way you just started explaining it then, it's all going to be in the delivery of like making people believe that you're telling the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too farcical.
Well, I feel like the way
especially if you said, the reason why I'm out here in LA is to find Nicolas Cage to see if he'll be in a movie I've written about him.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which was why
that'll
I was
it
there.
Make it more believable.
Yeah.
But that was literally why you were there, wasn't
it? Yeah.
You went to find Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. That is mad.
It's better, isn't it?
It's just too much. It's too farcical.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could start earlier saying, I went out to LA to do... to find Nicolas Cage because I look like him.
I feel
because
like
I'm trying to. Thinking about writing a show about trying to make this film.
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage.
I'm writing a show. I'm thinking about writing a show.
I feel like that when you where you delivered the first bit of and I ended up in the marathon, it sounds like a set up punchline that isn't funny. Do you know what I mean? It's a funny idea, but. So it almost sounds, that's why it felt like it's not real, because it just felt like...
Like a joke.
I went for a job, ended up in a marathon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you actually, the in was a bit more sort of casual and natural, and then do the punchline bit, maybe it would feel more...
I think if it was just natural, I went for a walk.
You could even set it up like, I don't know if you've been to LA, but it's just, there's so much going on. You've got film sets happening here, this, that, you know, there's all sorts going on. I actually went for a run, same day as the marathon, didn't realise... Do you know what I mean? That doesn't feel like...
Yeah, the way you said it, where you said, I just thought I'd just carry on running, that sounded like the real story, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I'll just carry on.
That is what I did. Carried on.
Because you were going to run anyway.
Yeah. I'm not going to let them stop me having a run.
And then could you get like a winner's medal or something?
You might as well get paid for it.
And then you could say something like... Because don't they like... wrap people in foil at the end of things because you could there could be something
I just really wanted one of them foil sheets
just
great for the croissant
yeah
keep the croissant warm when the walk out
yeah
that's good
yeah
can I
that's funny
just so is there I mean this probably isn't funny but I'm just trying to think of Nicolas Cage films but you could be trying to pitch Face Off 2 where you and him are in it but that wouldn't work because it's just the same face. Or something like that.
That's funny.
Yeah,
because that's another thing. I'm trying to write more stuff on the Nick Cage thing. So
yeah,
I do.
Yeah. You need to. If you're doing a whole show about it, you need a good bit of depth to it.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Pitch Face Off 2.
Face Off 2,
It would be a shit film.
And that way, Nicolas Cage do both parts.
That's funny.
So you'd end up, you get kicked out.
I wouldn't even need Nick Cage in it.
Yeah, that's true.
If he says no, I've got a backup plan.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Turns out, couldn't get Nick Cage to be in my new film. Yeah. And then it could be the reveal that the film you're talking about is Face Off 2.
And could you actually film a trailer of it and you That's play funny. Both parts? So it's Face Off 2.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you could end the show, is just show the film of...
Well, that's a good idea, Joe. You could have a film. You could
a three-minute film.
At the end.
Play him.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, just, where you
Joe Boy is,
and then Nicolas Cage is, and it's you as well.
Yeah.
In Face Off.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's funny. Because at the moment, I just say
that could even be the punchline, and then you could go so Joe Boy changed his face for Nicolas Cage, and like you could just keep going back and forward, showing what the plot is.
Yeah,
and it's just your face every time. It could even be the same shot.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's good.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That brings up an interesting issue about playing videos in stand-up shows.
Yeah.
Do you have an issue with it?
Not an issue with it, no. It's just sometimes it feels a little bit awkward about where you stand on the stage or whatever.
Depends on the venue.
Depending on the venue, things like that. But if it could just be the true. End... Mm. Could you just show it at the end? But then do people sort of sit there and watch?
What's also interesting is like knowing where the laugh is, because a film laugh is different to a stand-up laugh. But you want them to laugh. Yeah. But it's like within the film, it's like, do you leave a pause after what you think is a laugh before it goes? Because you don't want them laughing over an important bit.
At Edinburgh, in the first week this year, when I was just experimenting, I did show the video, I think, once of the camping video that went viral.
Yeah, how many views?
About 1.5 million.
Get out of there.
Yeah. And have I not mentioned that? And it's a 90-second video, and it felt a long fucking time. Do you know what I mean?
Just sitting there looking at it.
I was sitting there watching. I'm just standing inside. And it's just, it was like, oh, God, why is this taking so long?
yeah. But a trailer, you could do really short, sharp. And it doesn't actually, if you design it so it doesn't actually need a laugh, but it's just like a nice little bow at the end of the film, of the show.
Yeah.
It could be a nice way to end,
Yeah, because it's quite a nice out of the blue kind of, especially if you establish, if you establish the Face Off 2 earlier, even as a nice little callback at the end, because if a film's playing, they'll gradually realise what you're doing for.
And I don't need him.
Exactly.
And once it's finished, you go, this is a free fringe show, free to get in, not to get out. But
yeah. And you need, maybe you could do a GoFundMe for the or something at the end to make the full feature.
This is a good idea.
Just before we move on to Joe's next idea.
Right.
I was going to do an Oxo Cube joke that I had, but I didn't get round to it because of the mug.
Oh, yeah.
It's, If Music Festival was sponsored by OxoCube, would you call it Stock Stock? And then if they sold merchandise, would that be Stock Stock Stock? And then if in that merchandise, if you actually like allow people to invest in it, would that be Stock 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 Stock?
I say I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that.
I don't. Yeah.
Is it more clever than funny? It's clever and
how
funny.
How rude.
No.
It's all gravy, baby.
I did try and write a bit once about how the cups, I feel sorry for the cups that are always left in the cupboard that you don't use. Yeah. But they're always the fun cups. They're always like the little ones with like the biscuit holder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, all, they're always the ones you think
of.
That's
why you haven't got one with a biscuit cups. Holder, Danny. That's yeah, why you're biscuit. Straight.
I've not even heard of these exist.
Yeah.
You seem like a guy who'd have fun cups.
Yeah, he has. He's got loads of... Look at all these.
Positivity.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It's
hilarious.
True, yeah.
Positivity. Brilliant.
The classic Sports
Direct. Sports Direct. Can't go
my
wrong
with that. My Oxo mug. Well, which not, I didn't buy on YouTube, on eBay, which I've had that
it's
in the family.
It's a quick off the mark mug normally we've got.
Yep.
The official Mark Simmons merchandise.
Yeah.
We've got time for one more, Joe. What else you got?
What else have I got? Oh, right, okay. I saw something the other day and I thought that's a funny situation. But I don't, and I spoke about it on stage, and it got a few laughs. Vauxhall Comedy did it second time. Yeah, did it second time, and it did okay. I don't think it's ready. I saw.
Okay, so this is in development. This joke.
I think yes, in development. Mm.
Nice film term there, Mark.
I was on the way to drop off my little boy, and I saw two white vans opposite each other, and they were standing off. You know, they're blocked in the road.
Oh, well, okay, so they're in the road, but none of them's giving.
In the road, yeah, yeah. They're not, you know.
Oh, that's always fun to watch.
It was a fun situation.
Yeah.
Right? Two gay, like,
because a lot of people, see, if that was like a family and one of those, you the family would normally give.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's two of the same.
It was two of the same.
Two alpha males.
Yeah, yeah. And I always had, you know, I had fun in sort of talking about the kind of guys you get in those vans. But then one of them got out. Right, which you never get out. They were shouting, and then one of them got out, and I was like, "The fuck are they getting out?" And my little boy was there. He was asking questions. He was like, "Dad, why has he got out? What's going on, Dad? Mm. Why are you filming?"
Does that get a laugh?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it gets a laugh. That's
great, because that's an observation. Because people do get these on film all the time, so it's rather than actually helping the situation or anything.
I've got to grow my social media, son.
Camera.
Yeah. But that's kind of where I'm at. That's it.
Right.
I should just have fun with it.
If that gets a big laugh, that is essentially could be an end anyway.
Yeah, I just feel like it's not an end of a story. People are probably worrying about what's happened.
What did happen?
Oh, yeah.
What did happen?
Yeah. What was that? It was quite funny. One of them just slapped the van, the other guy's van.
And walked up.
Yeah. Which I thought was quite funny. That was quite funny.
That is funny.
it's just a like weird thing to do, fault. Slap a van. Yeah. and then retreated.
And then he went and retreated.
Yeah,
so the other guy just went, no.
One of them did, yeah, they eventually sort of found a way of getting past.
Will you promise me something?
Mm?
Always walk away.
Yeah,
always walk away. Because all it takes is one punch. And if they fall down, hit their head on the floor.
That's it.
If you fall down,
hit your head on the floor.
Yeah, and it can be 7, 8, 9 years of your life. Promise me you'll walk away.
I promise.
I was walk away because I'm that's what martial arts has taught me.
Yeah.
Really?
I got taught on the streets of Plymouth, but it's similar.
Yeah.
Similar vibes. But yeah, walk away.
I had a mate who had the opposite mentality. He would deliberately walk into people. He would walk. He had this thing. Wow. We stopped being a mate. I tried to write a joke about this once. But he would do this thing about it. Whenever I was with him, he'd be like, stand your ground.
Mm.
Bump, like, as right. in. Like walk through people.
Right. Can you back it up though, physically? Is he a fighter?
Yeah, he's a big boy, yeah. Right. I think he's now I don't want to say what his job is, because he's like, it's got a scary, not scary job, but he's like,
what's a scary
protection
job? Bungee jumps.
Yeah, I think he protects people.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like a big guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he can't run away, because that's literally the opposite of what the job is.
yeah.
You'd be a shit fucking bodyguard, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Listen, right, what happened to this? Yeah. I'm going to run. You better as well.
Daddy said walk away.
Oh, so I like that as an idea. So, I mean, I feel like if there's a joke there, one, if you can't think of anything after, you can probably work a way to manoeuvre that into other material about... you could either go the angle of social media and things like that, or go an angle of like two people fighting, or do you know what I mean, that kind of masculinity thing, or do you know what I mean, there is a way, but I feel like there
the message.
I feel like there should be a good punchline, because the slap, if you try the slap thing, it's funny, you telling us as mates, but as far as getting a laugh
it's not gonna
get a bang, as it were, but but I mean, it is pathetic, isn't it? That's their last resort of, you know. I don't think I told this story on. So our friend Matt Price, not that one. We went out on a night out once and we got really drunk. And then I think it was New Year's Eve one night. And then we're staying at mate's house in London, but we were over the other side of London. And then we couldn't, then all the buses were so slow. We were waiting for ages. And we eventually got on a bus.
Yeah.
And what happened was we were waiting probably an hour and a half for a bus. And we had a ticket for the day before. But the next bus that came was the next day's bus. It was like the first bus of the next day. So our ticket wasn't valid, but there were meant to be loads of buses before that. So we were like, well, you're not providing the service. Why should we buy another ticket?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the guy was having none of it. But Matt got on the bus, sat at the back and refused to get off. Refused. So the bus driver stopped it, wouldn't move. And then everyone started turning on Matt in the thing because they wanted to get home. And Matt just refused. You know what Matt's like? He just refused to move. And then this sort of gangster guy, like proper sort of chavvy sort of street thug, I don't know how you describe him, sort of walked over, sort of strutting, and went, "Here, get off the..." I can't do accents. "Get off the bus." And Matt went, and I thought, oh God. And Matt went, "No." And the guy went, "Oh, all right then." And then it went backwards. That just reminded me of that. It was really funny. But I was really worried for him because I thought the guy was going to shank him or something. But he actually just literally
held
his ground. And the guy walked away. Yeah.
slapped the bus.
Slapped the bus and walked away.
So that's we haven't solved that, but you know, we don't always solve things.
I think it's good enough.
I like it as I you like the actual right. initial why you're filming is really funny.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because also it's extra like funny because that's the example you're setting your son as well. It's quite...
Listen, son, it's really important. You must always...
Yeah. Now, here's a microphone. Now get close so you can so get the audio.
Yeah.
Quick fire questions. Best heckle you ever had?
Don't worry, mate. I'm also shit at my job.
That's great.
That's a good one, isn't it? I think I just laughed. I think sometimes when they're that funny...
Yeah. Oh, of course. You've got to own it. You'll let them have it. 100%. Yeah, because sometimes if you knuckle down, it can make it even worse for you. Do you know what I mean? Especially did the audience laugh at his, or was it an awkward gig?
I think we were acknowledging it was an awkward gig. Yeah.
But what's also funny is he's self-deprecating in his own heckle.
Yeah.
But at least he said it's your job.
Yeah.
That's all right, mate. That's sharing my hobby the as positive. Well.
Thanks for finding the
Okay, next question. What's the most, as a comedian, what's the most annoying thing people say to you?
Yeah, tell us a joke.
Tell us a joke. There you go. That's a classic. I'd say that would be my answer as well. Because where do you find that happens most?
If you're flying in Edinburgh.
Oh, really?
Or are you any good? Are you any good, I think.
Yeah, like you're going to go, actually, no.
Yeah.
Best in the price range.
For free entry.
I think it's worse here. I've got one for you rather than tell us
a joke. That's after gig normally. Yeah,
I've got one for you.
It's rarely a good one.
In Plymouth, I won't tell that story.
But the people that I can predict who's going to say it. It's when you go and do festival gigs and you're driving in and you have to, and you're getting directions by each security point to which turn you've got to go to the staff car park or whatever. Yeah. It's always them. You go, I'm here looking for the comedy stage, and they always say, tell us a joke. It's like you can never win in that situation.
What, they're just supposed to show you where to park?
Yeah, they always. As soon as you say, here for the I'm doing comedy set, they always ask it. It's always quite an aggressive kind of, go on. Oh, yeah, worst gig?
Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent, yeah. That was the worst?
Yeah, that was what I was drinking for months after that.
Really?
Joe hit the bottle.
Turned. It was a low point because you don't know
how it's going to come across.
Danny will let you know. You don't know
it's going to
go on TV. But
the thing is, mate,
is that way.
The thing that you said about you went on, they said where are you from, and you said money, and then they booed. Anyone watching that knows that's a joke.
That's what I thought.
Not always, mate.
But it doesn't matter because if they give you crap, then you just.
Yeah.
You just literally in comments, you literally just say, it's a character, it was a joke. They didn't get it. I feel like because you're behind the character there, I feel like that's safer than if you go on and you're yourself and they boo you.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
I
the fact that they misread it
makes
you in the clear. That's just,
yeah, that's what I thought.
It's not a comedy crowd.
But you're still in the back of your mind thinking it still could go.
But it is that whole thing. You know we're saying about like heckles that you hadn't established yourself. You've almost, before you've done that joke, you hadn't established what you are. So it was so almost they didn't.
It did go out on TV, didn't it?
No, mine didn't.
So have I just imagined that then? I've seen that clip.
Oh, I hope you haven't seen that clip.
It's every chance I've completely fabricated it in my head. A bit like my dad's Oxo cube mug. I've just convinced myself it's actually the truth.
So on that note, that's the end of the podcast. Where can people find you?
I'm on, socials.
Yeah.
You can be more specific.
Twitter, Joe Ziffbore. Insta, Joe Bore One. I've got a film that's out at the moment. It's on Apple TV. It's called Unstoppable Me. It's about Tanya Lee Davis.
Behind the scenes documentary.
Behind the scenes documentary. And right. I made a film with that bloke over there.
Do check out Incognito.
Incognito, Life and Death on Stage.
Yeah.
Which is on Amazon.
If you do, Joe and I will make at least 1.5p.
what if you just keep it on, keep playing it and not watch it?
Fucking hell, that's a point.
You could be making 10p a day if you do that.
We should just put it on repeat on all our devices.
Put it on repeat.
This time next century, we'll be millionaires.
Yeah.
Danny Ward, comedian. And at Jokes with Mark, back on tour in 2024. Tickets available at marksimmons.co.uk. That's a quip off the Mark tour. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark? And let's say it together, Joe.
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember,
Be more Gareth.
Hashtag awooga.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.